Once again, we hear God's word from Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through 18. Brothers and sisters, this is the holy word of God. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion, so that it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. Then the Old Testament lesson is from Exodus chapter 7, verse 8, through chapter 11, verse 10. That is found on page 49 of your pew Bibles. Now let me make a little note about our Old Testament reading. You might notice that that is several chapters long, very long Old Testament reading, but what we're doing is we're hearing the entirety of the plagues brought upon Egypt, except for the 10th plague, the Passover. But we're hearing about all of the plagues, including the warning of the last plague, together for this reason. It is one integrated story or narrative. And I believe in our day that many people use the Bible, cutting it up and seeing little snippets of information or data, but it is a one bolt of fabric. It's one story. And this is a very much an integrated story, but it's also a fascinating story that I think the church needs to hear all at once. So again, we're hearing from chapter 7, verse 8, through chapter 11, verse 10 this morning. So brothers and sisters, hear now the holy word of God. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he's going out to the water. Stand on the bank of the Nile to meet him and take in your hand the staff that turned into a serpent. And you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But so far you have not obeyed. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it shall turn into blood. The fish in the Nile shall die, and the Nile will stink, and the Egyptians will grow weary of drinking water from the Nile. The Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their waters, their canals, and their ponds, and all their pools of water, so that they may become blood. And there should be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, even in the vessels of wood and in the vessels of stone. Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. In the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of the servants, he lifted up the staff and struck the water in the Nile. And all the water in the Nile turned into blood. And the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile stank, so that the Egyptians could not drink the water from the Nile. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to me, as the Lord has said. Pharaoh turned and went into his house. And he did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the Nile. 7 full days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into your houses of your servants and your people and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and your people and all of your servants. And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts, and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, plead with the Lord and take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses be left only in the Nile. And he said, tomorrow. Moses said, be it as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile. So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs, as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt. And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you, and your servants, and your people, and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set up apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen. And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and to his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your God within the land. But Moses said, it would not be right to do so, for the offerings we would sacrifice to the Lord our God are an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice offerings abominable to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he tells us. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you must not go very far. Plead for me. Then Moses said, behold, I am going out from you, and I will plead with the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked, and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and did not let the people go. And the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. And the Lord set a time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. On the next day the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout the land of Egypt. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time will send all my plagues on you yourself and all your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will cause very heavy hail to fall, such as never been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter, for every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and beast and every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down on the earth. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy hail, such as never been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the field in all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. The hail struck down every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and the people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. The flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the emmer were not struck down, for they are late in coming up. So Moses went out from the city from Pharaoh and stretched out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, go unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them. And that you may tell in the hearing of your son, and your grandson, how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land so that no one can see the land. And they shall eat what is left to you after the hail, and they shall eat every tree of yours that grows in the field. And they shall fill your houses and the houses of your servants of all the Egyptians, as neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen, from the day they came on earth to this day. Then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not understand that Egypt is ruined? So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, Go serve the Lord your God. But which ones are to go? Moses said, We will go with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and daughters, with our flocks and herds, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. But he said to them, The Lord be with you if ever I let your little ones go. Look, you have some evil purpose in mind. No, go the men among you and serve the Lord, for that is what you are asking. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, so that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant in the land, and all the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt. Such a dense swarm of locusts had never been before, nor ever will be again. They covered the face of the whole land, so that the land was darkened, and they ate all the plants of the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, neither tree nor plant of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive my sin, please, only this once, and plead with the Lord your God only to remove this death from me. So he went out from Pharaoh and pleaded with the Lord. The Lord turned the wind into a very strong east wind, which lifted the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, Go serve the Lord, your little ones also may go with you. Only let your flocks and your herds remain behind. But Moses said, You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take them to serve the Lord our God. We do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to them, Get away from me. Take care never to see my face again. From the day you will see my face, you shall die. Moses said, As you say, I will not see your face again. Then the Lord said to Moses, Yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you away completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people, that they ask every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor for silver and gold jewelry. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So Moses said, Thus says the Lord, About midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been, nor ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, Get out, you and all the people who follow you. And after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of his land. The word of God so far, let us pray that God would bless the preaching of it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful account of your working among Egypt for your people Israel. Help us, Father, as we hear your word, to hear about our own sin and to hear about the wonderful power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Congregation of Christ and friends, the plagues God brings upon Egypt are one of the most fascinating biblical accounts. Aside from the swarm of flies and huge chunks of hail falling down from heaven, you hear about God hardening Pharaoh's heart, delivering his people, and bringing glory to himself. Ultimately, the plagues reveal that God will finally defeat Satan, and that is the point of this sermon. God will finally defeat and put Satan and his minions away forever. So in terms of organization, first in the sermon, you'll understand the purpose of God hardening Pharaoh's heart. Second, you'll see how God uses the plagues to deliver Israel, but also you'll see how God judges Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt through the plagues. And third and finally, through the plagues, God reveals that there will be a final judgment when Satan is defeated. So God will finally defeat Satan. This is revealed in this passage by God's control over Pharaoh and the elements of the earth in the plagues. So to be clear, the end of hardening Pharaoh's heart is to deliver Israel from Egypt. And when Pharaoh hardens his heart, or God hardens his heart, that simply means that Pharaoh is rendered resistant to hearing Moses, Aaron, and God himself. And ultimately, this hardening will be the cause of Israel's deliverance. When God initially calls Moses, he tells him that he will harden Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh will not let the people go. You first hear that in chapter 4, verse 21. But then, according to chapter 7, verse 3, you learn that God does this in order to multiply his signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, and through these signs, the plagues, God will deliver Israel. Pharaoh's resistance, then, gives cause to the plagues, which gives cause to the deliverance of Israel. So again, according to chapter 7, the plagues of judgment will reveal that God is Yahweh to Israel. And then in chapter 10, you understand that the plagues will reveal that God is Yahweh to the Egyptians. Therefore, Israel will be delivered and God glorified through the plagues. And the plagues exist and intensify because of Pharaoh's hard heart. Excuse me. But here's the chief question to ask. Is it fair for God to harden Pharaoh's heart? And we ask this because at the end of the day, it seems that Pharaoh's merely a puppet on strings without free will. Well, we have to understand the context. In chapters 4 through 14 of Exodus, the hardness of Pharaoh's heart is mentioned 20 times. In half of those instances, it appears that Pharaoh hardens his own heart. In the other half, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. But overall, we understand that God, being the God of providence, that he ordains all of this process. But the hardest part is understanding that God himself actively hardens Pharaoh's heart. He actively encourages the process of rebellion. Further, in Exodus chapter 9, God tells Pharaoh through Moses that he could have just destroyed Pharaoh and the Egyptians, wiping them off the earth. It would have been real easy. We didn't have to go through this plague stuff. God could have just wiped them away. But God says, "For this purpose, I have raised you up to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." So the question is, does Pharaoh have no free will, and is he only a puppet on strings? Absolutely not. Pharaoh may do whatever he wants to do. What does he want to do? He wants to keep Israel in Egypt, and he wants to bring glory to himself. In the story, God lets him do this. But also, God actively hardens Pharaoh for his purpose to redeem Israel and glorify himself. So to be clear, God is not just granting Pharaoh here permission to do what he wants to do, but God is actively causing him to resist. But God does this not as the author of Pharaoh's sin. Pharaoh's sin is his own. Yet God controls and hardens Pharaoh's heart. Both things then, Pharaoh's actions and God's actions, happen at once without contradiction or making God blameworthy or the author of sin. Both things happen at once. Another wonderful example of this, two things happening at once that are not contradictory, is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. There in Peter's sermon to the Jews, he says God's will, his predetermined will, was to ordain that Christ be delivered over to you, to death. Yet you Jews crucified him. So in one verse, we hear the minister there saying that it is God's will to crucify Christ, to deliver him up, yet it's also God's will for the Jews to kill him, yet the Jews are responsible. God is never responsible for someone's sin. Someone sinning is responsible for their sin. Now, of course, brothers and sisters, the mechanics of such actions are beyond your understanding, beyond my understanding, anyone's understanding. The proper way, though, to think about this is to realize that God is at work judging Pharaoh. God has a right to judge all sinners. He has the right to judge you, me. But here, he is pouring out his judgment on Pharaoh. And God's judgment stems from his own free will. This is why we hear from Romans chapter 9. So then, he, that is God, has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Who are you to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Man cannot and shall not speak back to God on this matter because God is free to do what he wishes to do. But it's very important to understand that his will is not erratic or his actions unjust. Never. Whatever God wills is right, wise, and good. And this is why Paul says what he does in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. It is God's word which actually settles the issue. We cannot speak God back to God. God speaks to us as a just and perfect God. But in the story, God hardens Pharaoh's heart in order, purposes, to bring the plagues on Egypt, and this causes the deliverance of God's people. We understand this as a defeat for Pharaoh, and of course a defeat for Satan, whom Pharaoh represents. God not only justly controls Pharaoh in this way, but he also controls the elements of the earth, causing great plagues. Now there are 10 plagues, all of which involve elements of the earth and sky. As God moves to use water, animals, and storms, you see that there are these incredible natural disasters which destroy Egypt. The plagues are a judgment on Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt. The purpose of the plagues is to compel Pharaoh to let God's people go, and in the process increase God's glory. The depth and intensity of the natural disasters proves that God is powerful. The earth, the sea, and the sky obey him. But also, in the course of the plagues, Pharaoh and the Egyptian gods are judged. They are proved to be inferior to Yahweh. And children, this is something that makes this especially interesting, is to understand how the elements of the earth, the river, the sand, the flies, the sun, Pharaoh himself, are all considered to be gods of some sort. Pharaoh himself, you see, was considered to be the incarnation of a god. And so when he is judged, he is rendered useless. Likewise, the Nile River is considered to be a god. But when it turns into blood, it is defiled. It is no longer a god. Or the sun. The sun in the sky was the supreme Egyptian god, but he is humbled to nothing through the plagues of darkness. And the plagues eventually compel Pharaoh to let God's people go and increase God's glory. By the tenth plague, the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh is broken and lets the people go. But the plagues are not just about breaking Pharaoh down. They actually work to move Pharaoh to do what he does. But also Israel and Egypt see that God is Yahweh. He is the one who controls all things. Moreover, Egypt and their gods are nothing. God easily defeats them. He wins the battle. So you see, because Pharaoh stands for Satan, God proves that he defeats Satan and breaks his control over God's people. Therefore, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart and the plagues of judgment mean more than just deliverance of Israel from Egypt. These things reveal that there will be a final judgment in which God finally defeats Satan. But of course, when you hear this, you have to ask the question, isn't Satan defeated right now? After all, Christ frees his people from Satan's tyranny at the cross, right? Yes, at the cross, God's elect are saved from God's eternal wrath and free from Satan's sway. But according to 1 Peter 5, Satan still prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And according to Ephesians 6, you struggle against spiritual forces of evil, including the devil. Therefore, while Satan and sin no longer rule over you, they no longer possess you, there remains a spiritual battle which wages war against your faith. The good news is, God will sustain you in this war now and will finally defeat Satan in the end. And you have to understand that the plagues of Egypt say this. They point to this. They preach this. So notice that while Israel observes the plagues, they know that Pharaoh and Egypt do not immediately fall. It seems like they're unbeatable. I mean, if you're an Israelite at this point, you have to think, well, surely if the Nile, which is a god to Egypt, turns into blood, it's all over. They're going to let us go. Doesn't happen. Well, surely those gnats, those billions of gnats covering them, or boils, that's going to surely let them go. No. These things keep happening, and it appears to them that Satan, Pharaoh, is really unbeatable, at least at the moment, right? You think of this. But the entire story is framed by God's assurance that he will deliver the people through the plagues. And then in the end, the Israelites plunder the Egyptians. What is the significance of that? All these Egyptians giving them their jewelry, all this kind of stuff as they come out of Egypt. Well, any time in war, if some people comes out from an area after battle bringing this stuff, it means that they are the victors. They have won the battle. So God is saying at the end, you will win the battle. And remember, at this point in the story, it's not happened yet. All these plagues are going on. God says, this will happen, where you will plunder the Egyptians. You will be victors. Therefore, it doesn't matter what appears to be true. That is, that enemies are too powerful. What matters is what God says he will do. And it may appear to you, brothers and sisters, that Satan is too powerful and that God doesn't really have an end game. And there are people that say that today. God really doesn't know the future, or he's learning things, and so really there's no end game at all. But it's heresy. Because God knows exactly what is happening now, what has happened, and what will happen in the final end. And so you have to understand, the plagues God sends on Egypt are a deposit that there will be a final end. But how do you know? In Revelation chapters 8 and 16, there's a correspondence between the seven trumpets that you hear about in chapter 8 and the seven bowls of wrath that you hear about in chapter 16. There are also references, interestingly enough, in these chapters to the Exodus plagues of blood, frogs, hail, locusts, and darkness. The seven bowls of God's wrath poured out mean that these plagues are final. The wicked will be judged finally. And the point here in this text is that there will be no chance of repentance. Here in this story, there are Egyptians that repent. When they see God moving, they say, "That is Yahweh, and I am a sinner. I need help through Him." And they repent, coming out with Egypt, or rather with Israel, out of Egypt. But brothers and sisters, it says here in the book of Revelation, in that final day, there will be no chance of repentance. When those plagues happen, those seven bowls of wrath are poured out, no one can repent, nor will they want to repent. So brothers and sisters, God is saying now, today is the day of repentance. Not tomorrow, not a year from now. If you do not know Christ, today is the day of repentance. And the good news is that those final plagues point to the final end of Satan, his host, and all who follow them as they are cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Plagues of Exodus point to that final end. And if that is how the story ends, surely it is, then you may have patience now in the midst of your trials. Just like the Egyptians had to remember God's word about the hardness of Pharaoh's heart and the victory coming out of Egypt, so you must remember God's word that Christ has already won the battle and He will triumph in the final day. So it doesn't matter what you think or what you struggle with or what people say. What matters is what God has said. His word is trustworthy. It is true. It is unbreakable. And the battle between God and Pharaoh reveals the victory of God on the final day, but it also reveals the battle between the seed of the woman, that is Christ, and the dragon, that is Satan, according to Revelation 12 through 14. Despite the dragon's rage, Christ has and will win the battle and finally deliver His people into the heavenly land. And you take comfort in that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.